Blog Talk Radio.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success start with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner. The morning sun to ensure what I said I do was really done. Come in my plans, I got no procrastination or weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission, cause I'm a winner.
Good evening and praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, this evening. And tonight we're going to have part five of The Purpose of a Thing. And that's going to be brought to us by none other than Pastor Steve Lee. So as always, I do encourage you, please grab pen and paper, pencil and paper, whatever you may have, and take notes and get ready as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching on The Purpose of a Thing. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Again, thank you, Brother Mike, for your faithfulness unto the Lord. And I just want you to be in expectation continuously, because the thing that God has purposed for you shall shortly come to pass. So, beloved, let's go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. We're talking about the purpose of a thing. And I've kind of just been hanging out here because God is trying to get us to function and live by purpose. You know, I found that most training that we had in life causes us to be crisis-minded instead of purpose-minded. We go from one crisis to another, and then because we get a victory or because we get a breakthrough, then we become happy at that. But see, just some things to think about scripturally. God says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He didn't say without breakthrough, it's impossible to please him. And I know that as we believe to get out of a thing, that we're glad that it's over. I've stated the other day that the word whew, is not a praise unto the Lord. You can't find that in your Bible as whew, okay? God is looking to do great things in the midst of his people. He's the Lord our God in the midst of thee, and he's mighty. He's not barely enough. He's more than enough. See, and if we would put that into our thinking and let that come out of our mouth, then the word probably won't be the position of heart that we think we're praising God with. See, I've understood that our foundation scripture says that to everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. And so God has made everything from purpose, for purpose, by purpose, through purpose, and on purpose. So with that thought in mind, how did we come up with, whew, is it that we are found to be fighting with God in the area of believing and faith, and wondering if, in fact, whatever it is he's doing, that we'll come to the end of it, and then we'll be able to breathe. Okay, see, we think from crisis management position, and that causes us to actually draw away from God. The Bible says that we're supposed to draw nigh unto God, and in that process, he will then draw nigh unto us. And he said, do this because you are double-minded. So take that double-minded position and move closer to God, away from the double-minded position. See, we should have confidence in him that we have allowed to bring us out of darkness. Okay. He didn't bring us out of darkness for us to be in a gray area. He brought us out of darkness so that we would be in his marvelous light. Okay, I find that when I'm in light, stumbling is no longer an option. I can see where I'm going. I can see the attack because the attack that is levied against me, illumination has happened, and so then I can see what now to do. I can also now see what not to do. See, so if we would just think from the position of he's the one that called me into victory. He did not call me into tests and trials. James tells us that God does not test any man with evil because he doesn't function from that position. So since he's not tempted with evil, or he doesn't tempt us with evil, probably should not be in our thought process. See, we've got to learn, having done all to stand therefore. Psalms 84:11 says that if we would walk uprightly, he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. So since he's not withholding any good thing, Why do we have as a thought process? See, we don't understand the purpose of our calling. We don't understand it. We still have kind of made God subject as as one that's trying to make us prove his love. See, God doesn't have to, he knows your heart, beloved. Let's start with that. So then, why would he need to prove your heart if he knows your heart? Okay? He is touched with the feelings of your infirmity. And because he's touched with the feelings of your infirmity, he asks you to come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy, that you may find the grace in the time of need. It doesn't sound like to me that he's trying to take me to the end of a thing so I can say, whew. He wants me to obtain mercy. He wants me to find grace, and he made sure the grace was there to help in the time of need. Okay? I'm just trying to get us in a different mindset and stop being real good crisis managers. Okay? And I understand we've been doing this for quite some time. But if you are in Christ Jesus, he said, look into this. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Okay? So he wants you to think about it from a different perspective. See? And a lot of times we have thought that we would bring glory and honor. We would bring glory and honor to God if we go through a thing. But he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him, not without going through. Even when you go through, this is what Jesus said. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Please don't concentrate on the tribulation. I need you to concentrate on the good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why, Jesus? Because I have, he didn't say I will. He said, I have overcome the world. See, these are the thoughts that I think, and they cause me to engage from a different perspective. I'm not engaging trying to win. I'm not engaging trying to get. I'm engaging because it has already been given to me. I start out with the victory. He always causes me to triumph. He gives us the victory. Okay? Okay, let's just hear that. See, I know how we say things. We say things in our heart. We say, the Lord's taking me through a trial. Okay? A better thing would be for you to understand the Lord has already given you the victory so that then the trial that you face, you can go through it. See, it's when I don't know where I'm going, it might be hard to get there. I might meander around for a long time, not ending up in the place I was called to because I don't know how to get there. See, and the way you get there, the way you arrive in God is to think about those things that are pure, just if there be any praise, if there be any virtue. In those things, you think on those, and then the God of peace will be with you. And because the God of peace is with you, he will bruise Satan under your heel shortly. Okay? Romans chapter 16, verse 20. He didn't say he will take you to the point of, whew. He said, if you have the God of peace, thinking on those things that are pure, just, if there be any praise, any virtue, if you think on these things, then the God of peace will be with you, and the God of peace will bruise Satan under your heel shortly. I just combined Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 through, I think it's 11, and then I took Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and connected them so that that becomes my bridge, all right? That's the path that he's given. There are steps that are preordained that I should walk in, okay? And my steps, from what I can understand, that are preordained, he said he gives me the victory. Those would be the steps that I should walk in. I don't walk in the trial. Oh, my God, I hope you're getting this. I don't walk in the trial. I walk through the trial going to the place of victory that's already been given to me. See, that is my X on the map, if you would. That is my destination. See? So I start off with that understanding. That's the way Jesus caused victory to be seen in his life. He says in Hebrews chapter 12 that for the joy that was set before him. See, he already knew what the end was going to be. The joy was set before him. And because he knew where he was going, then it was not a problem to go there. The joy was set before him, and because of that, he could endure the cross, he could despise the shame, and he knew he was going to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then because he's sitting down at the right hand, he's making intercession for us so that we can get to the same point of thinking victorious thoughts. See, we hear him say things to us, but in the midst of the trial, we just forget and throw those things away. That's why I want you to begin to live your life on purpose, by purpose. All right? I don't try to get, I am no longer trying to coerce God into doing something for me. I found out what his word said, and that word is forever settled in the heavens. And when I hear that word that is forever settled in the heavens, it can then cause me to walk in this life victorious. Because he's the one that told me, first prayer that he taught his disciples is he wants you to pray that your will be done in earth the same way it is in heaven. So if the will of God in heaven is not, the last word in heaven is not, then the last word on the earth should not be. Okay? I mean, the conversation of heaven is just different. And we've been invited to speak that language through every situation and every trial. And that's why we have to renew our mind so that the conversation that we have in our heart is a conversation that has already been sanctioned by the Lord. It's already been approved. See, I don't pray asking God things he hasn't said. I pray from the position of this is what your word has said, your promise, the word that has been sent to me will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you please. It will prosper in the thing whereunto you send it. I shall go out with peace. I shall be led forth with peace. I'm not going to be led. Come on, y'all. I'm not going to be moving in God in frustration. I hope y'all see that. That's Isaiah chapter 55. He says that because his words, just flip over there. Again, these are just impartations that we just need to hear. We need to settle these things in our heart. Okay? Because when they are settled in our heart, then we walk them out step by step. If they're not settled in our heart, then we might be frustrated and try to serve the Lord out of frustration. He wants you to serve him with gladness. Please hear that. Come on now. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. I don't know how gladness and frustration could be in the same sentence as they're in the same direction. I see them diametrically opposed to one another. Frustration, what I know about frustration almost never leads me to gladness. Frustration is sent so that I would end up not doing what I'm supposed to do, not ending up winning like I'm supposed to. Frustration has been sent to put the brakes on my walk. I serve the Lord with gladness. I come into his gates with thanksgiving, not frustration. See, all of this, you will never get to the purpose of a thing so that you walk in victory if you are stalled in frustration, if you are stalled in fear. You won't move. The things that the devil has sent into the situation and you look at the wrong way, they stop you from walking in faith. That's, okay, that's the purpose of the fear. That's the purpose of the frustration, to stop you. That's why he tells you in the book of James, he says, if you're going to be in a trial, my brethren, people that are in the family, I need for you to count it all joy. Okay. He said, count it all joy. He did not say count some of it joy and then the rest of it frustration. Count some of it joy and the rest of it fear. He said, count it all joy. Why? So that you will then be able to be made perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Because if you are double-minded, thinking that some of it's going to be joy and some of it's going to be, whew, then you are double-minded. And if you're double-minded, he says you are unstable in all your ways. And when you're unstable in all your ways, don't even let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. See, so that you can see right clear that frustration, fear, anxiety, they were all sent into the trial so that you would stop moving toward the Lord, moving in your victory. I wanted to talk about the purpose of a good thing, but there's the purpose of the evil thing, the twisted thing. See, the devil, Jesus said he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I like to remind you that if he's coming to steal, that means you have something. If he's coming to destroy, that means it was a possession. It was a material possession that you had. So then my advice to you at that point is don't give up what you got. Maintain what you have. Go back and look at it from a different perspective. See? Because if you look at it as if I'm trying to obtain something, you didn't understand he's already given to you. That's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, that he hath, past tense, given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given them unto us. He's not going to give them, past tense. See? So then I start from victory. So the purpose of worry is to cause me to think I don't have what I already have. That means at that point, I'm now calling God a liar. See? And that makes me, I'm calling Jesus a liar, okay? If I'm calling Jesus a liar, I'm not following the Spirit of God. I am now the accuser of my big brother. See? I'm functioning under that unction. And I shouldn't be there. I'm supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm supposed to rejoice. I'm supposed to be able to know that God has told me exactly what the end is going to be. And I should walk from wherever I am to the place of the end, to the place of victory. And all the while I'm stepping on stones of praise. I'm stepping on stones of honor. I'm stepping on stones of faith. See, I'm not walking in the flesh. I'm not walking in my abilities. It probably makes no sense for me to walk in my abilities, because every time I walk in my abilities, the devil is going to challenge my abilities. He's going to challenge whether or not I even believe I'm supposed to be there. You do remember that's what he did with Peter. Peter was walking on the water. If it be you, Lord, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, it's I, come. And Peter got out the boat, and he began to walk toward Jesus on the water. And then he looked at something other than the word come, and he began to sink. Because he watched the winds that was boisterous. He watched the waves that were going all over the place. Peter didn't have to act. Technically, Peter was not walking on the water. Peter was technically walking on the word. He was walking on the word come. And the word come did not stop just because waves and winds were seen. Okay, in fact, we can understand this, that the word come was spoken in spite of the waves and the wind. They were already in the midst of a storm. See? So the word of the Lord to you is going to come in the midst of troubles, trials, and tribulations. Don't look at the troubles, trials, and tribulations. Look at the word that was given to you, because the word that was sent unto you was sent for your deliverance, was sent for your healing. Let's look at this in Isaiah 55. Study this on your own, the whole chapter, but I'm just going to start at verse 6, and it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. For he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He didn't stop there. He did not make his thoughts off limit to us. He did not make his ways off limit to us. A lot of times people have made us think that, and that's why we go through trials with questions, because we think God is unapproachable. He told you from the beginning of this scripture, he said, find the Lord, seek him while he may be found. Draw nigher to him. Find him. See? So he didn't say, stay away from God. I don't know. Maybe you read something that I didn't. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So he did not say, stay away from him, did he? I mean, if he wanted us to stay away, then why did he tell me to seek him and call upon him? Why did he tell me to have conversations with him? If he wanted me to stay away, if he didn't want to be bothered. Verse 10 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud. Why? That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, we're understanding purpose right there. See, I see purpose all throughout the Bible. He says, I'm sending you thoughts. As the rain comes down from heaven, and the snow comes down from heaven, and it came down with purpose. And what was the purpose? And does not return thither, but it waters the earth, and it makes the place that it lands in bring forth and bud. Glory to God. He said he makes this happen. The purpose that he released from heaven, he causes it to work in the soil. Okay, I want you to know this. This is one of those things. It watereth the earth. Whenever you see the word earth, I just kind of want you to circle it in your mind, because the word earth is the same letters for the word heart. If you take the H from the back and put it at the front of the word earth, you will have heart. And he says, these thoughts come down, and they can enter into your heart, and they will make your heart bring forth and bud. Okay? I mean, that's what we want you to get that. See, that's the purpose for which it was done. He didn't want you to be without the ability to win. He maketh it bring forth. He maketh it bud. Why? Deeper into purpose. So that he can make sure that he would give seed to the one that's going to sow it. Well, that's just good to know right there, y'all. He said, I'm going to give you an answer, and when I give you the answer, please make sure you sow it. That's what David did. He said, thy word have I sowed in my heart, have I hid in my heart. Why? So that I will not be without my portion, so that I will not sin against you. Again, when you hear the word sin, it's not just actions that you did that were wrong. It is being without a portion. And of course, if you are without a portion, you will probably be tempted to sin, to do things to try to get what you think you don't have, when he's already sent the word to you so that you could have seed. And that wasn't all. He said that it might give seed to the sower and bread for the eater. God wants you to have both. But he wants you to understand that the first thing you must do when you receive from the Lord is sow it, so that it will perpetually continue to do what he sent it to do. It will not be a one-time thing and done, so that the next time you're back in the place of faith. That's what we call it. I don't really call it the place of faith, because it's not part of faith. That's part of confusion, if you would. And he didn't call you to confusion. See? So he wants you to be able to, first of all, when you get a word, the purpose of the word is for you to sow it. For you to know that first you know it, then you sow it. The purpose has to be known and then sown. Oh, that was good. That was good. Because he said, as the rain comes down and does not return thither, but it has purpose, you understood this is what it was here for. It's supposed to water the earth. It's supposed to make the barren place fertile. Okay? It's supposed to remove confusion. Confusion can be very easily connected to barrenness, because when you are confused, you do not produce. So he says, the first thing you need to know is that the word is going to, has been sent to you so that it would make the heart, the ground, the earth fertile. It first thing out the chute, he has to water it. Glory to God. I mean, if you can just see the understand the purpose of this. He said the first thing that has to happen is it has to become fertile. It has to become soft. You do not receive increase from a hard heart. You just don't receive increase. Jesus talked about that. He said that if those that was sown in stony places, it said it popped up. But because it didn't have much earth, it was immediately scorched. Okay? So then the first thing God wants to do, since he wants his word to work in your life, he first allows water to be given to you. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. He first sends water to you so that you will be able to sustain the word, the seed that he gives you. He already had your heart, and he said the heart has become desperately wicked above all things. So he puts water on your heart so that now that heart that is fertile, because it is supple, now that heart can bring forth and bud. Now that heart will be able to produce, it will be able to germinate seed. Glory to God. Please look at this, y'all. He said, if you would take it the way it is here, he said that he will send it to you so that it will give seed to the sower. See, it's going to begin to germinate and produce more seed. If you don't sow it, then it's just going to be on that hard ground that did not receive the water of the word. Isn't that what we're supposed to have? The washing of the water by the word? See? He takes thoughts. He takes those thoughts and he allows those thoughts to be washed in the water of the word so that those thoughts can be productive now instead of counterproductive. Those thoughts no longer accuse God. Those thoughts receive faith of God. And then those thoughts now will become words, and those words will produce victory because the seed of the word happens through speaking. You can see that in Romans chapter 10. And what is it? The word is in your mouth, that if you shall say with thy mouth. See? If you believe in your heart and say, it's made unto, it brings forth and bud. See? For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made to that which is going to bud, and then allow the whole process of seed time and harvest to take place in your life. It will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, just so that y'all can see I didn't make this up. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. So it had a purpose when it left heaven, and it can't go back to heaven without executing the purpose. What is the purpose, Lord? That it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. He just said his word will prosper in your heart. In the midst of trials and tribulation, take the word, and the word will do exactly what it did for Peter. He walked on the water. It produced. He did what no other man before him had done. Jesus came and showed him he could do that. And then he said, well, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus said, if I come. And nobody else other than Jesus, if I'd have been in the boat, glory to God. If I'd have been in the boat, I'd have been saying, me too, Lord. I want to taste what you're allowing him to taste. Not for the aspect of being in pride, but because I see it's available, Lord. Because you're no respecter of persons. If you did it for Peter, then you have the responsibility to open that up to me. So then I'm going to ask, Lord, I know it's you. The second person asks a whole different question because he heard Peter say, if it's you, Lord, didn't he come? So then the second one that could have came out the boat would could have came, Lord, I know it's you, so didn't he come? He probably, God Almighty, just thinking through that process, if Peter was in question and walked on the water, one that was confident and sure that it was the Lord could have walked even further. Lord, since I know it's you, bid me come also. Glory to God. See, Jesus is always wanting us to enter into greater works. Amen. He didn't have no problem with that. He would not have made it available for Peter if it was not going to be made available for us. We're supposed to walk on top of the trials and tribulations. That's the way Jesus came to them, walking on the water. He came walking on the storm that was troubling them. He didn't come saying, boy, I show up, I get to that. He came walking on the water because a word was given to them prior to them taking off. He said, let's go over to the other side. He already told them where they were going to end up. He told them, go to the other side. So with that word, there is no doubt where I'm going to end up. I don't care what happens on the way. Okay? So that everybody else in the boat could have said, I know it's you, bid me come also. Wow. Just to see this, taking it to the next step. Everybody in the ship could have made that boat completely unnecessary because they all would have been
walking on the, they could have had a party, a Holy Ghost good time on their trouble. Glory to God. You know, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible. I understand what was said, what was done. I got that. But if I, God says, I am that I am. So whatever I need him to be, he am that. He am my boat in the midst of a troubled storm. I don't need to be housed in a boat anymore. I can be surrounded by the word. Glory to God. Because the word supersedes every challenge, situation, and circumstance. Jesus said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. Just like the rain and the snow came down. These are the thoughts that God is bringing to you. He's the one that said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways not your ways. For as the heavens are higher, so are my ways higher. Then he says, for as the rain, all of this is connected. Thoughts and rain are connected. He sent his word to heal you and to deliver you. All of his words were thoughts before they were spoken. So God is going to open up thoughts to you to bring you to victory. This is the purpose of his word. His word was sent to heal and to deliver from all destructions. See? So then my job is to understand the purpose of the word so that I can enjoy the victory from the word. See? It will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Because my word causes you to be able to go out with joy and to be led forth with peace. I don't see in that scripture. I'm supposed to be led forth with joy, peace. See, when I allow God's word to do what it was sent to do, when I understand the purpose of it, the purpose of his word is to deliver me. The purpose of his word is to grow on the inside of me, prosper on the inside of me, accomplish what he sent it to do. See, if I don't understand purpose, then I will function in abuse. Whatever you don't understand, you will abuse. I will say proper things, but because I didn't understand the purpose of the words, I will abuse the words. I will use them in fear rather than using them in faith. I will use them as an avenue to make sure God is hearing. When he's already told me, he has written me in the palm of his hand so that he cannot forget me. Glory to God. I mean, if you can understand how much love, that's why the cross was necessary, because that was confirmation of him writing you down. Blood was shed because he wants to think about you all the time. Glory to God. I saw you dying in your sin, in your blood, and I said to you in your blood, live. So then blood speaks, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. Okay? So that's why he used blood, because blood speaks. Glory to God. See? So the conversation is already taking place where you're concerned. Hallelujah. It's already taking place. So then all I need to do is to keep my thought process in the fact that the conversation has taken place. The blood of Jesus is yet speaking. Hallelujah. And what does it say? It says, deliver them. Let them go. That's what the blood says. See, so I'm not begging God to do anything. This conversation has already taken place. He said, I'll be led forth I shall go out with joy. Come on, y'all. Come on. He said, I'm going to hang with joy. I'm going to go out with joy. Me and joy will be seen constantly together. I'll go out with joy. Okay, let's do it this way. If I don't have joy, I'm not going to move. Because joy is the thing that leads me. I'm going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. I mean, I just read what it says. See? He said that even when this happens in my heart, now watch what else changes. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I mean, come on, y'all. See, I told you, purpose is eternal. He just verified that again. This is all done for a sign that will not be cut off. Okay? God does things on purpose, by purpose, through purpose. See? And his purpose is eternal, non-changing. It's forever settled. It first comes from God and is waiting on us to engage in the victory that has been given to us. Purpose cannot be stopped by opposition. Delays are part of the maturation process. See? Because if you're not moving in joy, you have to go through the maturation process of being able to count it all joy. It's interesting there. Paul has given us the understanding that when God calls you brethren, it's not the same as he calls you little children. That has the connotation that you're growing up in stature. You're supposed to grow up in him the same way Jesus did. He grew in stature and favor with God and with man. And as a brother, you should grow up in stature and favor with God and with man. In James and in 1 John, he says, my little children. See? But he said, brethren. That's a different connotation. So he's expecting you to walk as one that has departed from the first things that you understood about God. You're supposed to mature. Let patience have her perfect work. That's a maturation process. Because when patience has not had a perfect work, you're just going to beg of God. But when patience has had a perfect work, when maturation happens, then you will be entire. You will be perfect, and you will want nothing. Okay? That was just ancillary. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Okay? Because the maturation process, we have to begin to get in that. See? We should no longer be children tossed to and fro. We should no longer be just, we should be brethren that walk in the same counsel that Jesus walked in, that walks in steps. Those that walk uprightly, brethren, not those that crawl around hoping they can find the blessing, hoping that because they're low in the Lord, they're closer to a blessing. No, he wants you to stand upright. Glory to God. I appreciate the thoughts that we have had that said we should stay humble. Yeah, but a humble man with understanding is a man that walks in power. He doesn't have to walk in pride, see? A humble man can walk in power. Jesus was an humble man, and he walked in power. Paul became a humble man, and he said, I do what I do in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. See? Humility does not mean I've lost my power. It means I've lost my pride. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to start for time. I'm going to start with verse 7. Again, y'all study this chapter also. Just go back and read it. Underline, highlight, stars, whatever God speaks to you to highlight for your life, it will be necessary for your victory. If you have a Bible that does not have D marks in it, okay, then you haven't went on a journey that would cause you to win every time. The landmarks, the D marks are things that God has showed you for your deliverance. And whenever you need that, you can go back to that landmark because it won't move. That's why he told us, don't move the old landmarks. He expected you to have D marks that would be able to continue to make you walk easier, because you'll go to a scripture and say, oh, yeah, that's what he said. And since he said it then in this situation, under these circumstances, I see that the same thing is happening in another area. So that D-mark, that landmark that I have here, it will work also. But if I don't take the time to mark in my Bible, underline, highlight, then I didn't hear the path he wants me to use for victory. Okay? I know it sounds sacrilegious. I get that, but it's not. It is very necessary for you to be able to go back to the point where he delivered you, and it's a landmark. See? That's your direction, if you will, because you can go and see, no, I did this in this trial, because God led me to, because this is the scripture that he gave me that brought me to the place of victory. That same scripture I'm supposed to live by. That's what Jesus said. I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, if I didn't make a D mark, if I don't make a landmark, I'm going to forget that word, aren't I? So verse 7, and Paul was speaking about the gift of grace. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, the gift of the grace of God given me by the effectual working of his power. So that's a great sentence. He says, I use the gift of grace that was given me, and it has to be effectual in its working. If I have grace that's not working, then I didn't understand what the purpose of grace was. Grace, according to this scripture, is supposed to work. The gift of grace is supposed to be effectually working. Okay. Unto me, who am less than the least of saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the reason I've been given this gift, the purpose for this gift, is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the thing they've been called into. They've been called into this grace, so that it should be used by them. Because we know that it was hid from the, at the beginning, it was hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. But now, to the intent that now principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known, might know by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. He wants to display it in you. And he said, this is his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. This works all the time, every time. Okay? He didn't change his mind. And he says, not only is this purpose eternal, he says, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Okay? So, I mean, I just want you to kind of get these things. See, his intent of a thing is his purpose. And we've been given access, boldness to have access. Again, I don't see in that scripture. If I have boldness to have access, And that access is supposed to be done with confidence. That should have taken away. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, which is for your glory. So I saw something else here. That purpose is assisted by glory. Okay? And glory is going to be, glory is the approval of God. And I need for you to know, in Psalms 8, he tells us that we were crowned with glory and honor. Crowned with it. So then we're not trying to find the glory. It was already resident. Okay? We have, if you remember, the cartoons called Fractured Fairy Tales, we have kind of used other things than the glory, because the glory is the thing that makes the difference. It's the glory that causes the word of God to work in our behalf. Okay, when I don't utilize the glory, I will probably try to do things in the flesh with my strength, my might, with my understanding. But when I submit to the word of God and the grace of God is active, glory flows. See, in 2 Corinthians, it says that the devil didn't know that Jesus was going to release glory. Because if he'd have known that, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. When he's the Lord of glory, his purpose was then to release glory. He said that in John chapter 17. The glory that I had before the foundation, that's the glory I'm calling them into. That's the glory I'm releasing unto them. Okay? And then he wants us to participate in that, because glory becomes active. Purpose and glory work together. And then grace is what happens when purpose and glory is active. Okay? Grace is not in our lives because of sin. Grace is the answer for sin. All right? Romans chapter 8 gives us that same understanding. That God, in the likeness of sinful flesh, sent his son and condemned sin in the flesh, that we might be able to be partakers of this glory. For we have this glory in earthen vessels. I mean, we just need to get this. Last week I gave you two acronyms. I would like to give you another one. The first one was grace, which is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. You're not the one paying for it. It's God's riches, and Jesus is the one making sure the transaction happens. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and his name is Jesus. And purpose, the acronym for purpose, is people using righteous practices overcoming selfish enticements. See, when I use the righteous practices, when I use what Jesus did, when I follow his steps, I'm using righteous practices. He was the righteousness of God. Okay? And when I use the thoughts, the intents, the understanding, the position of heart that he used, I am using righteous practices. And because of that, I will overcome selfish enticements. Okay? That's purpose. And the last one is glory. And it's God's love observed. When I see God's love, okay, when I see it, when I understand it was for me, it's God's love observed, and then that releases yieldedness in my heart. I don't have to fight with God's love. God's love was sent to me so that I can enter into eternal life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, whosoever enters into that love, they will not have to die. They will have everlasting life. I love the understanding of everlasting means it has to include now or it could not be everlasting. Okay? If everlasting does not include my now, it's not everlasting. So if I enter in by believing, then I will enter into that which will cause me to be an overcomer. God's love observes, releases yieldedness. So I can just say, okay, God, this is where you want me. I can go there. because your love is directing me. And your love never fails. Your love never quits. It never gives up on me. See, I will overcome because your love is shed abroad in my heart. See, I don't have to have questions. If I have an understanding of love, I remove questions. That's what it says. We can go on and see that right here. Okay, he goes on to say in verse 14, because of this, he keeps digging into purpose here. Because of this, I bow my knee to the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He doesn't want you to be impoverished in glory. He wants to meet your needs according to riches of this glory. He's going to grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in the by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, you will be able to comprehend with all the saints. See, this is information he's inviting everybody into. You'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And you will be able to know the love of Christ, which goes beyond what you understand. And then because of that, you will now be filled with the fullness of God, because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can dare to think. And he's going to do that in a world without end. Okay? So I just want us again to go and resign this in our thinking. See? This is what God wants us to do. I made mention last time that faith is the action plan of purpose. Hebrews 11 1 through 6 shows us that. Hope is the trigger of faith, because hope always abides. Hope is ready. Hope is ready to release the fruit that God said you should walk in. Okay? He's ready to do that. Love is the power of faith, because faith works by love. Joy is the strength of faith, because the joy remains in place while faith moves and gains victory. All of this is found in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 16 to 20. So if anything comes from God, purpose can be found in it. And the purpose of a thing must be found so that I do not abuse the thing. Okay? One more scripture just to kind of look at. Turn to John chapter 15. I'm just going to touch this and just try to enlighten you so that you will get what Jesus has been saying to us. John chapter 15, he starts off and says, I am the true vine, the Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. I know you might not like that. That's just the way it works. That's the purpose. He's taking you to maturity, from glory to glory. He's not leaving you on the side of the road where he found you, and you just say, okay, good, you've overcome. No. You're going to have to walk in this victory. And if you have become fruitful, he's going to purge you so that you can bring forth more fruit. Why? Watch this. Now you're clean to the word which I spoke. You're clean to what? The word. Okay. The cleansing process of the word does not happen one time. Okay? He cleanses you and regenerates you by the washing of the word. So the first time, a way of thinking is washed away. The next time, the support structure for that way of thinking is washed away. The next time, the argument that that way of thinking should remain is washed away. The next time, you go through these processes until you understand the love of God. You comprehend the love of God. It goes past your understanding. Then you see that the love of God has depth. It has height. It has width. It has breadth. See? You begin to see that. And then you can then apply it to every situation that you face. See? Now you cling to the word that I've spoken unto you. Abide in that word, and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. Make the word and me and your place of abiding one. Abide in me. Stop hanging out with frustration. Abide in me. Stop hanging out with fear. Abide in me. I'm not around fear. I don't hang around fear. I dismiss fear. I deliver from fear. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same, brings forth much fruit. Didn't say the same tries to go out and find fruit. Says the same brings it forth. It's already there. Okay? For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's going to have trouble. He's cast forth as a branch, and he's withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, because you abide, and you have conversations from the position of where you abide. And because you have conversations from the position of where you abide, you will bear much fruit. This is how, so shall you be my disciples. Our fruit releases glory to the Father, and it connects us to Jesus by purpose, on purpose. He didn't say, hang around me. He said, abide in me. That's on purpose, ain't it? That's meaning I'm never going to leave. I'm not just trying to see when you're doing the good stuff and then I come around so I get the good stuff. I hang around you, period. I live there. We're connected with a real short string. And then he says this, watch this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. See, these are points that are guaranteed. This is the purpose that we're invited into. We're invited into his love. The same love that he had when he loved Jesus. As the Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in that love. And because you abide there, another thing happens. See, purpose is understood when I'm not trying to force it, but when I'm inspired to do it. God wants us to show love because of an inspired position, not a forced position. He's not looking for parents. He's looking for those that are in relationship. That's what he's talking about. As the Father and I are in relationship, as the Father has loved me, so I need you to enter into that same relationship of love. See? And when you do this, you'll be able to keep my commandments. I'm going to just watch this. Even as I have, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in his love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we see keeping the commandments would be staying in his purpose, being empowered by his love. Now grace, purpose, and glory are all in play. Glory can be seen. Grace can be employed. Purpose can be utilized. Okay? He says, if you love me, Jesus says, then you would do what? You would keep my commandments. Why? Because this is how we know love is working. Because you are inspired to do what he said do. I'm not forced to do what he said do. See? That's what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to do the right thing and get God to approve that we did the right thing. No, those are works. Dead works, to be exact. But see, if I keep myself in his love, then it's not an issue about me wanting to do it. I only do those things that please him. I only say what he said. because that's all that's in me. See? If I love him, I will keep his commandments. I will keep myself in his love. Then he says, these things have I spoken to you, that your joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be made full. If I don't hang out, stay there, do what he said in Isaiah, be led forth with joy, be led forth with peace. See, I cannot enjoy the actions, the purpose of the word being there. Because when I hear what he said, then his joy remains in me, and now that remains in me makes my joy full. Joy is not an emotion. Joy is a spiritual force. The purpose for joy is strength, not goosebumps. Okay? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love that hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I will not call you servants, for a servant does not know what his Lord doeth. I called you friends, for all the things I have heard of my Father, I made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth, bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He's trying to get us to function out of relationship. And he says, the relationship, you didn't even start. You did not choose me. I chose you. The old ugly outfit that you think you are, I still chose you. It was God extending mercy toward us, not us finding mercy of the Lord. The reason that we found it is because God extended it. Remember when Jesus was born, it said, goodwill towards men, peace on earth established. Now, goodwill comes towards you. See? So it was not that you chose him. It was that he chose you and that he ordained you. So he wants to give you this because that's part of the calling that he placed on you. And he says that because I've chosen you and because I've ordained you, you should then go and bring forth fruit. Notice he told you to move. He told you because you have been chosen, because you have been ordained, now move. Don't move if you don't understand you were chosen. Don't move if you don't understand you are ordained. See, you have purpose from Jump Street. And most of us try to go and find our purpose. Well, I just helped you find your purpose in John chapter 15, verse 16. Your purpose is that you should know that you are chosen and ordained, that you should go and bring forth fruit. There's your purpose. And your fruit should not be a visitation. Your fruit should remain. That means when people do all the ugly stuff, you don't withdraw your fruit. Your fruit remains. It stays the same as God's love stays with you. While you were yet sinners, the offering of love was still made unto you. While you was being a fool, God still had abounded towards you in his love. And he wants you to do the same thing. He wants that love to abound one to another. And then when this is in place, now whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Wow. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. And the command is not a grievous command. It is a command that's given to those that decided and purposed to live in his love, to abide in his love, so he can do through his love what he purposed to do when he chose you, when he ordained you, when he asked you to be, when he asked you to go and be fruitful. But the choice is yours. Which way will you do it? Your way? With sometime love? With sometime peace? With sometime joy? With sometime frustration and fear? Or will you do it God's way? With love that abides. Hope that abides. Peace and joy that abides and leads you into victory. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. We just bless you for your word that you sent to heal us and deliver us. Your word that does not return void, but rather prospers in the thing where you sent it, and it accomplishes that which you please. Thank you for that word being alive in us. That word is the word you chose us by and ordained us by, that we should go and bring forth fruit that remains. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory
amen.
To God.
All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines and going to have some dialogue or commentary on tonight's teaching, starting with area code 404-453.
Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Again, just thank you for being on the call. Thank you for being on the call.
Okay. I got a question for you. When you say joy is a spiritual force, explain that part of it.
And I said right after that, that joy is not an emotion. And a lot of times we have
thought. It doesn't give you goosebumps.
That's not what joy is for. The Bible says very clearly, Nehemiah chapter 18 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay? If joy is connected to strength, how can that be connected to an emotion? Emotions don't do things. They just make you feel good about what was done, or bad about what was done.
And what book you say that came out of? Nehemiah what?
That's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, I believe it is. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12 that we should draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. So if I don't have joy as a spiritual force, if it's just a goosebump, if I'm really, really, really mad, my goosebump might be really small. So how much victory can I have if I got a little bitty goosebump? See, I need power, and the strength that God gives us by his joy is what's going to cause Satan to be defeated, because it gives us strength.
Okay. Last question. You said we are invited into his love, and then I put in parentheses purpose. Continuing that love and I put in parentheses to inspire. Enter into that relationship of love. And then you was moving so fast I couldn't keep up. So the last part I got was it says keep my commandments.
Right. You see, a lot of times people have tried to keep the commandments by willpower, okay? Well, I got to do this. I can't do that. Okay, and I appreciate that thought. But see, if I would rather let the inspiration of God do it, inspiration brings revelation, and revelation brings victory. My doing it because I have to brings frustration, desperation, exasperation, perspiration.
Okay.
I want to do things by inspiration. Inspiration provides destination. Okay?
Okay, I got you.
All right?
All right.
And I this is a paradigm shift for us because we tried to do it the other way. You know, I'm going to do it because God told me to do it. No, it was his word. Well, Jesus said this in the book of Psalms, chapter 42, I believe it is. It says, I delight to do thy will. It didn't say I had to do your will. He said, I delight to do thy will. Psalms 1, the man that delights in the law of the Lord, that's the man that's going to be blessed, not the man that was forced to do it. And most of us have tried to do the word of God by force. And it just doesn't bring the benefits, because God doesn't get your heart if you do it by force. See? He's not willing to do without a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to a cheerful giver, not one that just did it because he had to. Just I'm going to throw it out there. A lot of us go to work because we have to. Okay, there you go. See? But when it's a joy, this is true. This is so much true. When it's a pleasure, it stops being work. When you love what you do, it stops being work. When you love God, it stops being work. And now he can work with your heart to bring things that you didn't even now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Not because of what we did, but because of the power, inspiration that works on the inside of us. Okay? We just got to do it differently.
You have the mic again. Thank you all for just joining. And I say this, that the Bible teaches us they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And having comments and or asking questions solidifies that testimony. That's all this is. We call your area code in the first three digits of your phone number as opposed to calling your name. So that if you just, you know, want to listen incognito, you can stay incognito. You still got four more digits that we didn't let out. So we do that on purpose. Okay, but thank you for joining the call. All right, Brother Mike.
All right, area code 312-330. You have the mic.
Okay, praise God. Want to thank you for teaching again today on purpose.
Yes.
And because every time you do it, it's something fresh that comes out of it. So I'm just thanking God for that in Jesus' name. And there was one thing that I want to say about purpose. Everybody's purpose is not the same. Everybody may not be the principal, as it were, but the Lord prepares from the beginning everybody for what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For instance, mm-hmm. Moses grew up in an Egyptian palace.
Right.
He knew all the ways of the Egyptians. He knew everything about them. He was prepared to do what he was supposed to do. And Aaron, his brother, was prepared to do what he was supposed to do to support them.
Right. Yes, true there.
Okay, and I wrote down a lot of stuff. I don't think we have time for me to read the stuff that I wrote down. And you were flying today, okay? But it was good because it was just talking.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. And,
that's the way it comes in, y'all. I promise you. That's just the way it comes in.
Yeah, that's fine. I know you to be that way. So that was fun. It says, in the world there will be tribulation,
mm-hmm.
but be of good cheer. And you know, if you really stop for a minute and think about the next line,
Right. I've overcome.
Your mind.
Yep.
He has overcome the world.
Yeah, that's good. That's right.
The world. Yep. That is just awesome. Okay, well, that's all I'm going to say today. Praise God.
Amen.
Look forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, and we say that we're having so much trouble in the world. Well, that means you didn't read John chapter 16. Okay, you just didn't read it. Because he said, I know that's out there, but you need to change your thought process. Please, be of good cheer. Because this is why I'm here, so that you know I've overcome the world. I mean, it's you know what? I hadn't thought about it in this aspect. We're being frustrated over stuff he's already won over. That's just like you having the same fight for 27 years and then go and say, I'm going to be victorious. Wait a minute. This fight was 27 years ago. Why are you still fighting that fight? Just as a point of reference, he said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have. Not I will. I have. Glory to God. All right, Brother Mike. I can preach all over again on that. I promise you.
Amen. All right, area code 404-394. You have the mic.
All right. Amen. 404-394. Amen.
All right. Area code 678-328.
Hello.
Hello.
Pastor Steve and young man that's always moderating, Brother Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you both. And as a reminder to those that are listening, you can always please give them the link at the close so that, as they said, when the Holy Spirit is moving and you're trying to write it down or you're trying to retain or you're trying to grab, you're grabbing at it, and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't get it. They can always go back and, as they say, partake of the goodness of what God has served us during Monday night. I am in Texas with my cousin, and I thank you, Pastor Steve, for encouraging her, calling her. You have always been a blessing to our family. And I looked at the clock. I was like, it's 9:04. Well, actually, we're an hour in the back of you. So when it's
correct.
I'm like, wait a minute. I just got on.
Amen.
So I remember, we missed the first part. But she said, I don't hear anything. I'm like, you don't hear what? I don't hear the word. I'm like, oh, let me call in. So I just wanted to always, whenever I'm off on Monday, I'm going in. And I'm going to eat and I'm going to feed live on what God brings to us during Monday night. So thank you, Brother Mike, and thank you, Pastor Steve. And for my cousin Vicky,
thank you.
She thanks you, and Carol thanks you.
Amen. Amen. Always praying for and thinking about her. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Let's swing back around. Make sure I didn't miss this caller.
470-418.
470-418.
Let's stay to the end. 470-418.
Amen. All right. Well, Pastor Steve, that does conclude the end of the callers that are in the queue. What would you like to close us out on before we go ahead and end the broadcast tonight?
I'm almost sure that I'm going to have a fresh topic for next week. But just go back and revisit how we have. How we have appropriated purpose, because sometimes, as the caller said, we try to enter into someone else's purpose because we see it and think we like it. Okay? No, your purpose is for you. The only thing I want you to do is find out the purpose of the word, because the purpose of the word will bring out the purpose he's called you to. But if I don't spend time in the word, I'm not going to understand my purpose. because I'm going to still be trying to get God to just become the genie in the bottle and do this, that, or the other. So let's go back and deal with it, because everything God does, he does on purpose, through purpose, by purpose, for purpose. So let's go back and deal with it from that perspective and no longer be crisis management. Okay, let's go to purpose management. You'll enjoy your life a whole lot more. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, folks, well, that does conclude our broadcast for this evening. For those of you who are out there listening and would like to be able to go back and listen to the broadcast, you can do so by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/live-deliverance. Once again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/live-deliverance. And there you'll be able to go into the archive and listen to any of the teachings that have been on the show that have been broadcast live here, and those that were, I guess you could say that you've missed in the past years as well. You can also listen to those as well. They're in the archive too. So we would like to thank you for your continued support of Live Deliverance here on blogtalkradio.com. And with that being said, shalom, everyone. Have a good night. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Have a good night, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom.